Phoenix FM, 10 past 10 now, an Essex Theatre Group whose back catalogue is just about as varied as you can get, from Jules Verne's classic Around the World in 80 Days to George Orwell's chilling 1984. They're back, this time with a fast-paced comedy which is set in 1960s Brighton. One Man, Two Governors is based on an 18th century Italian play. And to find out more, I'm joined from Early Doors Productions by the director, Amy Clayton, along with two of the cast, Paul Sparrowham and Justin Cartledge. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thanks for having us back.
That's all right. It seems like sort of 5 minutes since you were here.
I think it was 5 minutes.
1984 was excellent, by the way.
You enjoyed it? That.
Really? Well, yes, I enjoyed it.
In a way that you can.
Yeah, it's one of those things, yeah, enjoy. But this one is certainly one to enjoy, isn't it?
This one's going to be a lot of fun.
Amy, just give us a bit of background. You're directing, as you do all of your productions.
At the moment.
I just mentioned there that it was based on an Italian, I called it a play, but...
Commedia dell'arte. It's an Italian form of caricaturing.
I prefer cappuccino myself.
Caricaturing a specific characteristic per character so they can develop. So, for example, you've got like Colombina, who's the maid, and she's saucy, busty, and that is her character. And us, for example, Francis, who's our lead, is actually the harlequin who's always he's a bit of a fool and always motivated by something, in his case, act one, food. It's a Carlo Goldoni piece from the 18th century called The Servant with Two Masters, and what Richard Bean's done, he's brought it bang up to date, well, 60s.
So it's the scenario
that you brought into
the 1960s.
That's right, and he's done a fabulous job, because I'm not actually a big farce fan. Mm-hmm. However, the reason behind the mistaken identity and why the characters are lying to each other and trying to hide things, it's flawless. It's very, very clever. It's a really well-written piece.
Paul, you're the main character, Francis. What is the brief scenario for the story, without giving too much away?
Oh, okay. I guess a lot of it's all in the title, really, isn't it? One Man, Two Governors. So, essentially, I am the one man. I don't think that's giving anything away. And I am employed by two different people who don't know that I'm employed by two different people. And that's really a lot of my motivation going forward, that I've got to kind of keep my situation from becoming revealed. So there's in typical sort of farce terms, there's a lot of, oh, somebody's coming, you know, changing direction, lying, and covering things up as we go along.
As a non-performer myself, I imagine that farce has got to be one of the most difficult.
It is. What I'm doing takes enormous talent. I frankly, what are you laughing? What?
No, please continue.
No, I'm just. He's asked me a question.
Talent and modesty.
It's
because in the West End production of this, your character was played by the multi talented, the brilliant James Corden.
Who?
He's a mink.
Who was obviously your the warm up for your
is yeah I no don't know who. Yes,
but seriously,
seriously,
you can't blag it, can you? If you sort of fluff your lines, whatever, you know, but you've got to be so precise, haven't you, with farce? Not only in terms of the lines themselves, but the physical stuff.
Yeah, that's what you'd think, isn't it?
Well, I do.
Yeah, no.
Don't shatter my illusion.
No, you're absolutely right. With farce, it does take an awful lot of concentration. So much. I mean, the play is very much an ensemble piece. I mean, I am the one man in it. So it's kind of the lead role. I'm on stage a lot, but with farce, everything is about timing. Everything is about, as one thing finishes, something else starts. It's the crossover, it's the handover, it's the timing between characters. There's a lot of balls to keep in the air at the same time, and you rely very much on the company, who are all brilliant, I have to say. They are all... some of them I've worked with before because they're Early Doors regulars. Some of them I've not worked with before, and I've just been blown away with this sort of the people and the quality of the other actors and what they do in the scenes that I'm not in, and indeed the scenes that I am in. And yeah, they're all excellent.
Somebody
so
you've
I'll never
worked
work with them again.
Somebody you've worked with many times before, and you are doing it again, is Justin. Let's bring you in here, Justin. You're playing one of the governors.
Yes, I am. I'm playing Stanley Stubbers. Yeah, who hires Paul.
You're a bit of a crook, aren't you? Stanley, I mean, not just...
Yeah, well, yes, officer. In all honesty, I think everybody in the play is a bit of a villain. Perhaps apart from Paul's character. But they're all tipping on the wrong side of the law. So, yeah, he's employed, in effect, by two crooks.
Villains tend to be more fun to play, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you're taking something that hopefully you're not in real life, so you're allowed to... Obviously, acting is all about being something that you're not, but villains are even better because, you know, if you do something bad on stage, you're not going to go to prison for it.
And Amy, as well as directing, you've got a role as well?
Just a little one, yeah. Well, I've been desperate to play opposite Paul forever and he keeps turning me down, Alan. Why would he do that?
I've no idea.
Exactly. But yeah, no, she's quite a small role, but she's quite integral to his motivation for Act Two. But yeah, she's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun. Just a bookkeeper. Just your average bookkeeper.
Now, this is a sellout, isn't it, already?
I know.
So,
how
you
exciting.
Know, normally you come in and we say, you know, get your tickets. But if you haven't got your tickets already, it's too late.
I know, it's absolutely too late. And there's even a waiting list for Saturday night already for any possible returns. But yeah, please don't make the wasted journey. Bless you all. Thank you so much.
So I guess if that's all that people can do if they haven't got tickets is just phone the theatre.
That's
keep
right.
An eye
that's right. Yeah, it's fantastic news. But... yeah, commiserations to anyone who didn't get tickets. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, cost me an absolute fortune buying them all. Look, me and my mum, I don't know.
It's not just one man, two governors you're in here to talk about because you've got a really packed programme coming up. You've always got things planned for the future. Very keen to find out some of those things, including a Christmas classic. We're going to be talking about Christmas in September, but it will soon be upon us, and that is going to be absolutely great as well.
Phoenix FM.
Talking to Amy, Paul and Justin from Early Doors Productions. Now, we've been talking about your production of this comedy set in 1960s Brighton, One Man, Two Governors. There was a reason, Amy, that we played Bobby V there, sort of from that era that the play's set. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we've also got a band involved with the production, and they play snippets of bits and bobs, and that's one of the ones that gets included. So, yeah.
A great song, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Love that
great
song.
Era. Honestly, we had such trouble picking what we were going to use. Yeah.
I wonder what Brighton was like in those days. I mean, today Brighton is sort of unique in the United Kingdom in terms of being so cosmopolitan and anything goes. There's a funny story about my brother who was living in Brighton at the time, and he got locked out of the house in his underwear, and he had to go to the local news agent because he hadn't got his phone and he had to go and phone a locksmith. But it was in Brighton, so it didn't really matter. So anywhere else. But what it was like, 1960s. Anyway, that has sold out. So if you haven't got your tickets, tough, unless somebody drops out. If people are going along, by the way, I know with the West End production of this, there was some audience involvement. Is that going to be happening again?
There is some audience involvement. Don't scare them, Alan.
Well, maybe that will cause a few people to drop out.
Yes, there will be an opportunity for anyone who's smiling and blinking a lot
so at
Francis for him to grab you and use you. Quite right.
Yeah. So if you keep your head down and don't make eye contact.
There are times
right.
I do come out and chat amongst the audience. That's all I shall say at this point.
Okay. Look,
you ask me directly, and then I'll probably just cave in and tell you what you want to know.
Looking beyond One Man, Two Governors, we mentioned Christmas there, and it's a Christmas carol you've got coming up.
It certainly is a Christmas carol in Gatestone Hall, yeah.
Right. Now, I went to see this a year or two ago with Jim Broadbent in the main Scrooge character. Who's your Scrooge?
It's not that version.
Oh, crime, right.
Yeah, but that version is hilarious. But I wanted to do the classic. It's Christmas time. Yep. I wanted everyone to feel good and think on their sins. Let's hammer that home for Christmas, shall we?
There's always something to think about with your productions, isn't there?
So, yeah, I went for the traditional version. And Engaged Stone Hall is going to be a great setting once again. So, yeah, but already we've had to put on an extra night because tickets are going very quickly. So, yeah, if you want tickets for that, even though we haven't started rehearsals.
How many nights?
Four nights, but there's only 80 tickets per night. One night's completely gone, and there's about 6 or 7 tickets for all of the other nights that have gone as well. So
When is it?
It is, well, excluding the first night because that's gone, December 1, 2 and 3.
Right, so that's not long, is it?
It's really not
long. And
that'll
be a great way of starting off the Christmas season. So how does it work? Because you're obviously working very hard. Apart from Paul, for whom this all just comes naturally and it's all sort of a walk in the park. But I guess the rest of you are working pretty hard towards next week. But you're thinking beyond that to, what, less than 3 months' time. Now, you've obviously cast Christmas Carol, I guess.
Yes, Christmas Carol is good to go. But we do have Heaven Can Wait at the start of next year, which is March 2, 3 and 4. And there's still some roles in that I'm interested in people getting in touch about. We've cast some of the characters, Lionel Bishop.
This was the film.
Yes, it was a 1940s film, but it got remade with Warren Beatty in the 70s. Ours is going to be a bit.
It's another comedy, isn't it?
It's a rom-com. It's endearing. It's a really, really cute story. Yeah, very, very sweet.
This is about a guy who dies.
Well, he doesn't die, but he's accidentally taken to heaven. After an accident, because the angel believes that he was going to die. Turns out he took him too early. And when Mr. Jordan, who is the god equivalent, says, no, take him back, his body's been cremated, so now they need to find him another body so he can go back.
Yes. Based on a true story.
Yeah, that's the one.
So this one you are looking for some
I am, yes.
For.
Yeah, so
what is this, major roles or?
There are some, so, like support roles. The actual lead, the guy who's playing Joe Pendleton, that's taken, but everything else... Yeah, get in touch.
Okay, what sort of, are there any specifics that you're looking for?
I'm looking for a shady solicitor accountant. I'm looking for some household staff. I'll have to have a little look. Well, everything's posted on the website.
And it has got to be people, obviously, with some experience. It's
not necessarily. Don't be frightened about that. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to audition people without experience. Definitely.
Okay. So what's the best way of getting in touch? Through the website?
Yeah, definitely.
Earlydoors.org. And I looked at your website, and you're not just going up to Heaven Can Wait, which is next March, isn't it? Yeah. So that's not long after Christmas Carol. Because what I was getting at there was you've got One Man, Two Governors.
Yes.
That finishes.
Yep.
Literally a matter of weeks later, it's A Christmas Carol.
Yep.
That finishes, and then 3 months after that, Heaven Can Wait.
That's right.
So it's a constant sort of... turnaround, really.
It's the first time we've done 3 shows a year.
That is very ambitious.
It is for someone with a full-time job, Alan. I think I'm going to die. But we're all right. We'll see how it goes. You can
and
let
they're
us know.
All so different. What always gets me with you guys is everyone is different, and you're always sort of pushing the boundaries with something new. Just coming back to One Man, Two Governors, is there anything in that you feel as a group... is trying something new where you feel that maybe you're pushing
the audience participation
the
definitely right. It makes me very nervous, very very nervous, and that's
it
no
makes the audience pretty scared.
I know,
I can tell you,
but I've got no fear with what Paul will do with them. He is fantastic at ad-libbing and quipping and as
he would tell you
and
himself.
Being on the spot with yeah. that sort of thing, but you never know, you can't rehearse that. You don't know what the audience is going to come back with. You don't know how they're going to react. So I mean, Paul will react fantastically whatever, but there is no way we can rehearse it, and for me that makes me very, very nervous.
And Justin, going beyond next March, you've got you're doing some Shakespeare next year.
Yes, we'll be doing Macbeth. So
when's heavy, that going to be?
That's going to be the middle of May, from what I understand.
Yeah. So that is literally a couple of months after Heaven Can Wait.
Yeah, I should imagine Macbeth and Heaven Can Wait, the rehearsals will probably overlap for a time. And certainly some of the actors, Macbeth, a lot of that is cast already as well. And I should.
Is that the usual the usual team you've got, or have you got some different people there?
Yeah, we've seen several different people, aren't we?
Yeah, there are different people in it. But again, a lot of them are people that we've used before. We know that we can trust them. We know they're excellent actors. So it's, you know, obviously when we do shows with other companies, if there's someone in there who we think is exceptional, we'll nick them.
We steal them. That's what we do, Alan. We steal them. We give them back.
Okay, and then on your website, you're going even beyond that. You've got Frankenstein. That's next year as well.
Yeah, there's quite a nice gap between the May with Macbeth and then Frankenstein will be Halloween.
For Justin, there's a nice gap. Just throw that in.
You are directing all of these, Amy.
Apparently. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Frankenstein's going to have a bit of a twist because we're writing that one ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, obviously we wrote our own version of Wonderland, and so we're writing our own version of Frankenstein as well. A lot of that was that we really want Lionel in it, who I'm sure you've seen, and he was interested in playing the part of the creature or the monster, as people want to say, but only if it's more how the novel is, where the creature is a very sympathetic character. But quite often when you read scripts of it or when you see films, he is portrayed as a monster, as a villain, and we didn't want that either. We kind of felt the same as Lionel. We wanted it to be, you know, the monster's a very gentle character in a lot of ways. So when we thought, well, let's write our own version and do exactly what we want with it. And so
that's pretty ambitious in itself.
Yeah, I guess so.
Look, we've got to wind things up there, but I'm fascinated to know why you are making a plan so far in the future. Is it to do with licensing issues?
Often that's the case, yeah. They have licenses that come available and they're only there for a limited amount of time, so I grab them if I definitely know I want to do a show. But more than that, it's easier for me to plan that far in advance so I can actually do my proper job.
You have a proper job as well, which must come
the
as
one
a...
one that apparently pays my mortgage.
Must come as a welcome relief to you.
So can I just also say that you have to plan that far in advance in terms of getting the right actors as well. I mean, because like Paul, for instance, he runs his own drama company, Kites, who are doing Piath soon as well.
And he's also got Roxy coming up, which is going to be a massive part for him. It takes him out. We can't use him for those couple of months next year. So.
And obviously there's other actors like Darren. He'll be involved in Roxy as well and stuff like that. And I think that's May next year as well. So you kind of have to plan that far advance if you want... In effect,
of course, Roxy Krasner with the college players at Brentwood Theatre.
Yeah.
He's encroaching on our interview.
Look, we do need to wind it up there. Paul, in all seriousness, you're looking forward to next week.
Oh, man, I am so petrified that I can't put it into words. Now, I was so excited when I kind of was offered the part because I like a challenge. I've done a lot of things over the years, and after a while, when you've sort of I've been acting for like over 30 odd years now, and you start to do kind of a lot of the same kind of roles, and it gets a bit samey, and every now and then you think, oh, I just wish a part would come along that just shake things up. And this is a big part. It's a major part, but it's working with a great team, and of course for me it has the very different aspect of a large part of it being unscripted, just with the audience, which is pretty much, I suppose, my regular acting style to go off script. But this time I'm supposed to do it, and that makes all the difference. And it's very liberating, and it's also quite scary. Because I realise there's an awful lot of pressure there, and it could go either way. It won't do, he said, seeing the director's eyes cloud with fear. But it won't do. It'll be great. That's live theatre. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all
about. It'll be fantastic. Look, I know you're all incredibly busy, so very grateful to you for popping in, Amy, Justin, and Paul from Early Doors Productions.